Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system, fails the exit pool. Wake up the silence.
Again, episode number 37 of the Star Chamber Show is live right here, right now, and we have a fabulous night lined up for you. I'm Susan Roddy, and I'll be your tour guide for this madness. Joining me for tonight's shenanigans are the 7th Star rock stars, Sayla Janelle, Stephen Zimmer, Michael West, and Alexander Brown. As always, a gigantic thank you to Zero King for the best intro ever. Now, tonight is going to be a wild card night, which means any topic is fair game and anything goes. Anybody who wants to chat can reach us at 619-639-4616 on Facebook, on Twitter, and in our chat room. Now, since I'm driving this crazy bus, I guess we'll go ahead and get things started. We talked about, well, let's see, what were we talking about? I don't remember because I wasn't here last week. Either way, tonight we're going to be talking about Imaginarium, our little event that we've got coming up mid-September, and I know I'm excited about it. What about you guys? Everybody else excited too?
I'm ready. Ready. It's
fun.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready.
What?
No, no, I'm ready.
Well, you're driving.
You know
what you want to cover first? You're driving the bus, Susan. Where are we going to first? Which, what are we talking about Imaginarium?
Well, I just asked if everybody was excited, because I know I am. I'm ready to get this thing going.
I'm pretty jazzed.
Awesome.
I'm ready to rock.
Now, we've got, what, about a month left to go? I know, let's see, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now. My brain just reset on me, guys. I've been doing this a lot, so you're going to have to jump in and keep me from sounding like a total idiot on the radio. But, let's see, from this end, I know I'm just about done with our programming, and I can't tell you how happy I am. It has been a bear. It has been a lot of work and a lot of fun. And I know Steven can attest to the crazy because I've kind of blown up his Facebook message chain every day for the last couple of weeks while working on it.
Yeah, we probably crossed the 500,000 message mark by now.
we're not quite that bad yet. I think we're up to about 50,000, though.
Yeah, literally, we are, I think.
So, let's see. In case we have anybody that doesn't know what Imaginarium is, Stephen, tell us about it.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Imaginarium is a convention that is centered on creative writing. So it has all of the rich content you'll find at all the mega writers' conferences, and it has all the fun of a convention atmosphere. And when I talk creative writing, I'm not just speaking of books and novels, novellas, e-books, that kind of thing. I'm also including screenwriting, comics and graphic novels, writing for game design, even like poetry and songwriting, lyrics and things of that nature. So when we say creative writing, we mean a true comprehensive span of creative writing, and we also mean all genres. So, you know, we've got everything from fabulous New York Times bestselling authors like J.M. Madden to screenwriters like Final Destination's Jeffrey Reddick. We've got it all. So it's truly a conference that shines a spotlight on creative writing and writers. And so that's, to me, that's the core of it. So I guess to answer your question, that's pretty much the what I would say is the centerpiece.
Cool.
Did you get that, Susan?
Yeah. Okay, hey, sorry about that. So, no, I'm having technical difficulties on this end, as I always am. So,
well, what kind of panel topics are we looking at?
Oh, wow.
Okay, guys, I'm here. I had to plug my phone in, so I lost y'all for a second. Sorry about that. Okay, I'm now with you.
Alexander Brown is in the house. Oh,
yeah,
dear.
The rascal is here.
All right. So, Susan, do you want to take that since you've been noodling through? How would you describe the monstrosity of panels that we have?
I think the best way to describe this is pick one, because we have everything. We have how many tracks do we have now? Is it 12 or 13?
12 categories.
I don't even remember at this point. We've got panels on gaming and comic books. We've got general craft of writing type stuff, romance, sci-fi, fantasy, horror, blogging, social media, publishing, editing. I mean, anything you can possibly imagine. If there's a question that a new writer has, there's a pretty good chance that at some point over the week, somebody's going to be able to answer it.
Let me throw this at y'all. Let me see what you think about this idea. If we don't have a slot for it this year, then perhaps the following year. I've come across quite a few people at cons who are starting to write inspirational sci-fi, fantasy, horror, so on and so forth. Will we this year or maybe in the future see a panel on how to create inspirational fiction regarding the sci-fi, horror, fantasy genres?
Oh, no, that's a really good idea.
I really hadn't thought about it until, like, let's see. I went to a con in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and there was one lady there who was pitching her inspirational sci-fi book to the crowd. And I was just talking with her, and she was explaining how there is a big crowd for it and more writers are starting to go into it. And as a matter of fact, a lot of writers who write horror, fantasy, sci-fi, and also tie it into inspirational, they're having a hard time finding homes for their work because of the mixed genre.
Huh. Yeah, I could see where that would be kind of a hard thing to place.
Yeah,
I would say that, like, I can use a prime example of that. Eric Wilson has a great vampire trilogy that is inspirational in nature, and the problem that he had was that his trilogy kept on being put only in, like, the inspirational religious kind of fiction area and was not ever put, you know, into the area with the other vampire books. And so that is definitely a true interesting point that you guys brought up, that's a good example of. It does have sometimes a hard time getting the right kind of positioning, for sure.
You know, as far as getting it on the track list this year, we may have a couple of spots left over by the time I get done. In which case, that would definitely be a good one to stick in there.
I don't know how, because we've got over 140 panels and workshops.
Hey, I've got 3 days to play with, and I'm really good at Tetris.
But there's only 24 hours in each day.
Yeah.
and we've got, like, 6 panel rooms. we've got lots of space and lots of people, and I know all of them like to talk. I'm going to say something. Again, my brain reset. You guys are just going to have to talk over me tonight because I'm not going to make any sense. Don't we have somebody else on the line, too, that
yes,
I
we
didn't
do.
Announce?
Let's bring on our surprise guest.
Good evening, all. Hi there, guys.
Hey. Go ahead and give us a grand introduction of yourself here.
Well, I'm Lee Martindale, and I have the supreme honor to be Imaginarium's first Toastmistress.
Yay!
This, This is when I need that little sound button of clapping and cheering.
Yeah, I was looking for the same thing. Hold on, hold on. Here we go.
I knew you guys were crazy when I signed on. I sort of come by it, honestly. I've worked with Stephen and Susan and Stella for 3 years at another convention, and when they started talking Imaginarium, I was there.
Now, Miss Martindale, I believe I'd met you before. You were at last year's Mid-South Con, correct?
That is correct. I was toastmistress there as well.
Yes,
so,
and you were also on the Dark and Stormy Night panel, correct?
I was, yes. I'll own up to that one, yeah.
Okay, well, I just want to go in and compliment you that for the people who did not have the opportunity to sit in on that panel, the way you speak to the audience when telling a story, it is just so amazing. You have a great voice for character development, especially when speaking the story. And when you were talking about the twerkers and everything, that was actually kind of creepy, and I loved it, so I really applaud you for that.
Oh, thank you. Dark and Stormy is one of those very strange things that you basically check your modesty at the door and pull out all the stops. And after a weekend convention, as active as that one was and as active as the Imaginarium is going to be, there is no telling what's going to come out of my mouth.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
It is. So a little bit of background, if I may. I've been a short story writer for almost 25 years. I made my first pro sale in 1992. I've edited two anthologies of original stories, one called Such a Pretty Face, the other one, The Ladies Who Trade Down. And in June, I debuted my first trade paperback collection of just my stories called Bird's Road. And I'm in the process of getting those up on ebook as well. So I'm going to be coming into Imaginarium on a bit of a high.
Oh, that's
nice.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Stephen, that was a warning. You know that button I got. You know that button I got. It says dangerous when bored.
Yeah, yeah. I know the rule with you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking forward to a fantastic convention.
That's why, Susan, you better not have just put her on, like, three panels. Please tell me you didn't.
No. I may have abused Lee a little bit more than I did anybody else so far. I hope that's okay. I did get her approval beforehand, though, so I think I'm safe there, mostly.
You put her on four panels.
Now, do keep in mind that I am getting up in years, and I do need some sleep. Notice I said some sleep. And, you know, coffee in the morning, Mountain Dew in the afternoon, Bailey's at night. And as long as I've got a full chair on the full charge on the power chair, I'm yours.
That's good to know. No, it's really not that bad, I promise. But it's, you know, there was conversation before I started this. I did make sure it was okay to do the, you know, panel load up thing. So I think we've got a pretty good balance of, you know, different types of people. We've got some people who only want three panels, some that'll take any ones I give them. You know, I'm trying to play it fair, be nice, but also load people up who really want to. But I also know that not only do we have a wonderful Toastmistress, but we have a fantastic moderator as well. So I like the idea of taking advantage of that too.
And feel free, as like I said, as long as I get some sleep, the occasional meal, And some time to plug the power chair in, I'm good. And the panel selection. The panel selections are just amazing.
Yeah, content-wise, yeah, I have to say it's hard to find a program that extensive anywhere. I mean, it's definitely pretty awesome to read through it all.
We literally have something for anybody who's ever even thought about writing.
It's going to be. But make a note, Susan. Yeah, we have to talk to the hotel. Make sure that Lee is not put next to Michael West's room, because that's Michael's room is where all the crazy, you know, loud parties are at night. So we got to make sure that.
Either that or issue earplugs.
Definitely the Carlstrom room.
they don't want an angry redhead showing up at their door.
Oh, no.
You
can be talking about Sayla there, too.
Well, we did at Context get closed down by security one night.
Yes, we did. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not even the Stephen Shrewsbury reading that got shut down, which
No, it was the Apex Indiana Horror Writers Party, and as you can imagine, if you've ever attended either a Apex or an Indiana Horror Writers event, you can imagine the two merged together, and it was something to behold.
Folks, I'm a Dragon Con veteran. Okay.
Jason Sizemore will be on hand though. Jason is coming to Imaginarium, so you have to be very careful. And he is also a fiery redhead, I might add. So, yeah, we definitely got a redheaded theme going on tonight.
I no longer fear hell because I've been to an Apex party.
Somebody make a note, my room, not next to that party.
No. Yeah, we won't allow that to happen. But I remember their dry ice punch was just awesome. That was so
yes.
Cool.
Yes, dry ice punch cool. And
the moonshine and everything. They had everything.
We had maple whiskey fresh from Canada.
Oh, dear.
We spared no expense. Or brain cells, for that matter.
Maybe we sacrificed, yes.
Well, you know the running joke at conventions, where you find the writers at the bar. The running joke.
Well, it's true.
It is true.
I was going to say it's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that's
the only place to know that.
Now, so if we have all of these interesting party stories, I guess, and this is the point in the conversation where I'm going to put Sayla on the spot because she's being way too quiet over there in the corner. if we have all these stories about wonderful parties and these big blowouts, I guess that means we really have to work to make the big party we're having at Imaginarium the best of all of them. Because we do, in fact, have on our schedule a masquerade on Saturday night.
I think that the parties at Imaginarium are going to be known as the best, because some of the people who have contributed to the best parties at surrounding cons are going to be at this con. So I think we're going to party hard.
Yep, and you should take up the invitation from Sayla to come sail away with her to her big party. So
exactly. People give me details about what we got set up. Yeah, we can. I wanted to get this pinned down 3 months ago because we want to rock it out. But
all I ask Susan is that you don't have me scheduled at like a 7 a.m. panel on Sunday morning.
I've gotten word that I'm teaching a writer's workshop at 10.
Yeah, I think 10 is about the earliest we're really going to see anybody crawl out on Sunday. But yeah, so
hell being the operative term, yes. Now, you do know that it being an escalade party, that the call will go out at opening ceremonies. Is there a corset puller in the house?
Corset puller? Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
I will probably be wearing many hats, but having worked in theater professionally for like 15 years, I've pulled many a corset. I can lace a corset really fast. So,
pull the strings.
That is a good one thing
to know you have.
Yeah, I do. It's been a long time, but I could probably still do it. I can't do it to myself very well, but I can do it on other people. But
you know, there should be like
myself.
There should be like a corset pulling contest or something. The person who can pull as many corsets, do it accurately without the person passing out, they win.
I'm liking this idea.
A corset race.
Yeah. There is a way that you're supposed to be able to lace it to do yourself. I have a short arm, so it's harder for me to do it to myself. But to other people, yeah,
you know what I
look like.
You know what I look like.
But yes, I can do corsets easy peasy.
Super. And I believe somebody said something about this being a masquerade come as your favorite book character.
Yes.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
hoping because we kind of don't have the foundation at the moment for a full blown costume contest and we want to do this right, we're kind of combining the two. So I'm probably gonna be poking guests and going trick-or-treating around for prize donations at some point beforehand in the next couple weeks with Susan's help and other people's help. But, yeah, I want people to come as book characters. We're going to hopefully have some prizes available. My thought process is especially, I know we're kind of, this is getting late in the game for people who want to build stuff, but, you know, my challenge is, you know, as long as it's a book character, even if there's a movie of it, great. But my real challenge is if there is a toss-up between someone who has a great, like, I don't know, Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings elf costume or something, but there's an equally great costume of someone from, like, a fish person from Michael West series, the prize is going to go to the indie book because you have to be a dedicated reader for that. So I want to see costumes that really – you know, are all about either people who are at the con or books that may not get the love that major franchises have given other books. But
okay,
we'll take it.
Well, then let me offer something in here.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the favorite characters I've ever written is a character
yes.
called Lady Blaze.
Okay.
She is the proprietor of a space-faring bordello.
Ha ha ha.
I got to play her one entire weekend at an AfroCon a few years back. So I
yeah.
think I've got the character down right.
That's awesome.
So I suspect Blaze will be making an appearance.
Very good. And I'm hoping if I get the chance, I keep saying this, I'm really hoping to block out this weekend to make a troll. I'm hoping Padawan from Old School will be making an appearance. I've got to start building the suit this weekend. But, yeah, that's the sort of thing that I really want to challenge authors or readers. I want us to rock it out and really bring it and show all our magnificent characters. And, then, I mean, other stuff is good, too, but this would also be really cool for pictures, for convention photos and stuff. Like, that's my challenge to everyone out there, is to really dig deep and show some love to things that you may not always see at other conventions.
We come with a mission, yes.
Yes, definitely. That's the challenge. I challenge you all.
Brilliant. I want to see the spider dog costume.
Oh, heck yeah. That would be awesome.
Oh, pitch that idea over to Jennifer Mulvick. Oh, you know how to love spiders. Just saying.
Well, Sailor, for that matter.
Yeah. Come on the troll, there's no way I'm going to get a spider dog out by middle of September. I hate to tell you. Lord.
See, I personally want to see the troll because I have to admit, I'm kind of guilty in egging her on with the troll because I keep telling her she really needs to build it. And I may have actually volunteered to wear the costume if she builds it. So
yeah.
You might get
it. Yeah, you and, like, Robin Blankenship has offered up her son. So I've got, like, two possibilities. One, I may just steal someone and put them in the suit. So I may just start kidnapping people. If I really have time, what I really want to do is I want to make the dress for Flora and, like, be with Padawan myself, but I don't know if that's going to happen. It will depend on how long it takes to build a troll.
And see, that's the point when I get into the Padawan costume and then we really freak everybody out by, you know, actually dancing.
Oh, my God. That would be so awesome. Oh, my God.
That would be, if I get both done, sure, it's a date. We'll go to the masquerade together.
I have a question for Stephen.
Nope.
I have a question for Stephen.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Are you taking up a collection for the Betel Fund?
For the which?
The Betel
Fund. Bail fund. Yeah, we get all that thing.
That's the registration money from everybody that's coming to witness this.
Or we could even call that the Carlstrom Fund, because we already know he's going to end up there.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I would also, authors, I mean, I would also definitely, if you know you have readers or you want to get people in on this, definitely, you know, recommend easy ways for them to dress up as your characters and stuff, because this is going to be some great photo opportunities, not just for party stuff, but for, you know, future social media and stuff, too. I mean, this is multifaceted, so definitely talk it up, because there's a lot that can be done with this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we will actually have a lot of good bloggers attending, because we actually have blogging in social media is one of our categories. So yeah,
right.
There's going to be a lot of focus on that there at the place.
Right.
And the Crown Plaza is fabulous, I mean, as a venue. And so, yeah, it's definitely the right environment.
And there will definitely be lots and lots of cameras around. I will make sure of that. So there are lots of pictures of everybody in every costume with everybody they want. So.
Yep.
Yeah, we have filmmakers doing a documentary of Imaginarium. We have two filmmakers doing like a little doc of Imaginarium that are going to be there. Yeah, that we've given passes to.
Oh,
so
that's
going to be kind of cool.
Very cool.
So, yeah, be ready. Be ready.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're still cementing the details, but definitely, yes, bring your book characters, rock it out, be prepared for anything to happen, because we are going to party and have a great time.
We are, and the paneling is going to be amazing.
Yes.
First of all, there are some guests of honor that you all lined up that have me excited. Maurice Broaddus, for certain, and just some excellent names out there. I don't know how you all did it on a first-year convention, but I'm not arguing.
Well, I mean, we've got some, I mean, like I said, we got a nice spectrum represented by our guests of honor and Imaginators, and you mentioned Maurice Broaddus, who's, I think, is just awesome, and
I agree.
And along with him, you know, we've got Jeff Reddick, who did the Final Destination movies, and he's representing kind of the screenwriting aspect of things. Dan Jolly, who actually worked on some Transformers video games and has several projects with Dark Horse Comics, who is also an author as well, but he's kind of sort of, as our special guest, kind of representing the comics end of things. And then, of course, Rose Pressey, who I think is just a delight. And she and the cool thing about her is she's actually from Louisville. So we kind of wanted to, you know, first year of a Louisville convention, it's cool to have somebody that's a great success story from Louisville to kind of spearhead things. And Rose is phenomenal, and she's definitely one of the bigger indie book success stories out there. So, yeah, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you're talking guys like Tim Wagner and all sorts of just amazing authors, you know, all the way down the roster. So, I mean, and from coast to coast. I mean, we got Scott Sullivan coming in, who has written for The Tonight Show NCIS Los Angeles. And, he's done a lot of TV writing and stuff. I mean, we've got just some phenomenal professionals coming in from coast to coast. And yeah, it's pretty potent, and I think people should definitely take advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you, you know, having been working on the programming for the last few weeks, I've spent a lot of time talking to all of our guests. You know, we've got some that are out there that are, you know, best-selling authors. We've got some that are just starting out. But I can tell you the energy with everybody, absolutely amazing. Everybody is excited. Everybody has been so wonderful and so patient with me and my crazy. I can't tell you how thankful I am that they have all understood that I'm a crazy person. But it is, the energy is just so wonderful, and everybody's so excited, and it's amazing to see this many people working together really as a unified team, because that's not something I've ever seen at any other convention I've been to. You know, that just, it totally fascinates me. They've all come together so well, and they're all supporting each other so wonderfully, and it just, you know, being on the back end of the convention, it really makes me happy to see that.
I think that what's happening is with conventions especially, you're starting to see an evolution with it. I think not all conventions, but most of them, are starting to bond more because we're noticing a movement in the indie industry, and we all want to be a part of that. We all want to be bonded when that happens, and I think that we want to be able to take that step together and say we took it as a friend, you know?
One of the things I've noticed, and you'll keep in mind that I've probably done, since my first convention in 1994, I've probably done close to 500 conventions as a guest, and which translates to several thousand panels. The thing I am noticing about what you speak of the energy, the thing I am noticing is, regardless of where anybody is, where everybody is on the spectrum, and as you say, we've got them across the board, the one thing that we've got in common is that we want to see Imaginarium fly.
Yeah.
And we're being given a tremendous venue. The team putting it together, I've never seen better. And it's going to translate once the convention starts. It's going to translate into happy attendees, good panels, and a lot of fun.
You know, I think the having fun, I think that's a really important part of the event itself, because, you know, I've not been anywhere near as many conventions as you have, Lee, but I've seen some where people are happy, and I've seen even more where the guests, in particular the authors, feel neglected, and they feel they're upset by the way certain things are handled. And having witnessed all this, that's kind of, at least from my point of view, that's kind of where I'm coming from when I'm talking to everybody. I really would like to get to know everybody, and I want to see them happy, because I know it makes it better, not just for the people coming in, but also for our guests as well. It just, and it really does, it does translate into something bigger, I think, even than we expect it to be. At least I would like to think so.
I absolutely agree.
Miss Martindale, while you're on the phone with us, this is kind of a subject swap from what we were just discussing, but could you perhaps tell us about maybe some of the points that you would like to hit in your writer's workshop? Like, if we have a person come in who's never been published before, what might be some of the highlights that you're going to hit?
Well, what I am planning to do is a modification of Alan Wold's fantastic writer's workshops that he does around the country, and he's given me permission to do them when he's not around. So I can't say too much, or it'll spoil the surprise, but not only in the workshop, but any time you catch me not moving, I'm more than happy to talk to new writers. I love doing it. And some of the points that I try to get across is patience, persistence, and recognize that Yes, rejection's part of the deal. I mean, I don't know a writer of any caliber, of any place on the food chain, who hasn't been rejected. It's part of the business. It's not you being rejected. It's that particular story at that particular time for that particular slot. As an anthology editor, I've had to reject stories. And nothing tickles me more than to see a story that I just could not use being sold the next time, to the next market they submitted it to. That tickles me no end. But I'm basically what I'm going to be telling new writers is hone your craft, learn the profession, ask questions, write, submit, repeat until it sells.
And that's
great. And yeah, I love talking to new writers. And like I said, if I am not moving, questions are welcome.
Well, we've got another caller that's going to join the party tonight. And it is, unfortunately, he can't make Imaginarium, but he gives one of the best reads in the country in terms of live readings. And I just spoke about one of his readings earlier when mentioning context. And so the great Sword and Sorcery horror author Stephen Shrewsbury is live on the Imaginarium show as of now. Hey, Stephen, how's it going?
Hello, folks. I'm just sitting here having a beer and thinking about how the hell you would lace up a corset your own self, but that's really not something I'll ever have to worry about doing on my own body anyway.
No.
So I reckon they'd be too hard to take off in a pinch, you know. I reckon they'd be too hard to take off.
That's the very little secret. That's
yeah,
the very
is.
Little secret. There is going to be a live demonstration of how Selah laces up and takes a corset off that Imaginarium.
God.
And we're selling tickets for it.
What?
I saw it done painfully live to a fellow with lots of makeup at Fandom Fest a couple years ago. It looked kind of violent to me, but
I
didn't
have
the
have one
really,
to use anymore.
Oh, man.
I think she can only do it if she's in the parking lot of Horror Hound, though.
That one was a zipper, and I needed someone else for that one. You would never going to let that story go, are you?
Wow. No, I was listening earlier and laughing about the idea that these horror writers or fantasy writers or writers in general, you know, party and drink a lot. That's just preposterous, as I've poured my third beer tonight, so... I don't know what you're talking about there, or party
like,
conventions.
It's like that that line from Casablanca, where it's like, you know, I am shocked to know that there is gambling going on in this facility. Here's your winnings, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for Adam. What makes your readings so, a word I can use on the air, memorable?
Oh,
me?
Yeah.
Me?
Yes, yes,
well,
sir.
I don't know. I mean, one of the funniest things I ever was told, I don't know if it was Ramsey Campbell or someone who was, because he stepped back from me when I stepped toward him to shake his hand. I don't know if it's just the way my presence is or my voice, but I don't have to read to do the reading. Someone says I do a reading without opening a book. I know what I'm going to be, the section I'm doing. I will read, you know, verbatim, of course, but it's just... I don't know. I'm in front of an audience, and I'm kind of a ham that way. It's also, you got to have something to tell. I mean, you can be a good performer and not have anything to say. And I'm just a dumb country boy. I don't know nothing about no professional performance. But I speak from the heart, and I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you a story, and you're not going to forget it when I get going, and I might take out some furniture or a phone on the wall or something. So... Fandom Fest, I fucked the phone up. I broke a table in Nashville a couple years ago, but that wasn't even planned, you know. It just happened. But blame the manufacturer.
I definitely want to meet this man.
I mean, but you got to have something to say. You got to have a good story to tell and your ability to convey it, I guess. And I've, like I said, I've had no pro training. I've never done anything. I'm just telling, I like to tell stories. I like to talk people things, and I don't know. Every once in a while I get it right, and I'm not afraid in front of a crowd. you know, people don't bother me at all. Well, people bother me a lot, really, but people in an audience, they don't think nothing of it. So. And I have this voice that carries, I hear, so that helps.
Yeah. I was at Phantom Fest a couple of years ago. You could hear the reading down the hall with the door closed.
Yeah.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Well, my voice carries a little bit. Rain Graves at World Horror a couple years ago said I was channeling Johnny Cash when I went to the poetry reading, and there was William Pugmire, and there was different people that were very wonderful readers and classical, and then I get up there and read a bunch of Howard poems, and the people were just like, really? And it was a small room, but I didn't overdo it. You know, I did it nicely and how it was, and they did, I got probably the weirdest response I've ever got at a reading. Nobody clapped. Nobody said a thing. It was like this stuffed shirt room, and I just got up and did what I did and left. I was like, okay, fine. But Rain Graves came back later and said, oh, you're awesome. And I'm like, well, nobody thought so, but that's okay. I did what I was going to do. I turned 40 that day, went up and read, so.
I also like to give readings, and one of the best cases of applause I ever got, I was reading an Arthurian thing that I wrote. And the room was fairly well. It was a good-sized audience, including a lot of folks that are in the SCA. I looked up from when I finished the story, and there were tears sliding down into
the room.
And I tell you, it was better than any applause I could have ever gotten.
But that's what you got to get. You go up and down with emotion. It isn't just I go out there and yell and get somebody's attention. I will do different things, and I will tell you different. I will read a poem. I sang the doxology in Canada, and I think people probably freaked out. They were like, "He's doing what?" I can't sing either, but I can. You know, I'm an old Lutheran. I can. You know, if I could fake it for a few verses, and I know all the words, so. And I was just like, but I also went from this the Red Thunder, the thunderous Howard poem, into the doxology, and then into the Southern Tracker voice of this guy, you know, snapping off about, you know, hearing that sung by a bunch of, you know, by a bunch of professional killers, and it was just like the dichotomy of different tones hitting everybody, and you could just see I had them. They were waiting to hear what I was gonna, because Bob Friedman was front row and took the hit that time, and the candle went, but he was. He didn't move. Everybody else moved back, but Bob didn't. Bob took it like a man, so I wouldn't expect any less.
Oh,
Bob, me, and Brady really should be photographed together sometime, because we were all separated at birth, sort of. But
we want to do that. We do want to do that.
We're all the same kind of guy if you ever get us together. So.
Oh, man.
I was telling Brady, I said, Brady, have you ever met Bob? And he's like, no. I'm like, geez, we're not that far apart. It's like bizarre that we've never really been in the same room together. But
oh, Brady's
I'm really
Bob
sorry
before,
I can't.
He
might have by now. This was a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
He might have by now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can't believe he would. And I think Brady and him are both going to be there, too, which pains me I can't make it.
Yeah, as far as I know, Bob, Brady's definitely coming. I think Bob should be there, yeah.
We'll have to Skype you in.
Yeah.
That could be arranged.
Maybe we can get him for Imaginarium, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
certainly.
Definitely.
We'll have to see. So, I'd be more than happy to come down sometime, but it just didn't work out this year, and I'm very sorry about that, because I saw the people are going to be there, and I'm like... Would have loved to have made it. Could have made a few dents here and there, so. But,
you already know you're invited for next year, so, you know, the door's open.
Well, I reckon you guys will have a good time without me. You got a lot of talent there and a lot of great folks organizing it, so you'll do good. I have no doubt about that, so.
We'll try to entertain Brady. We will do our best.
Yeah. Buy him lots of bacon.
Yeah.
He tells me about the gatehouse. Trues, you know there's a whiskey bar here? I'm like, oh, boy. So that didn't turn out. It didn't turn out too well. But anyway, I was like, oh, boy. But anyhow, you know, them guys are more professionals than I am. You know, I'm just a lowly farm boy. I don't know anything about that. So anyhow, well, I don't want to hog up the whole show here or nothing. So
Do you want to keep your announcement mum right now, or did you want to take a moment to talk a little bit about
There's been a long rumored collaboration between me and Brian Keene, the horror writer, that's been on the back burner for years, and I've just got the manuscript in the text or the email the other day, so I'm really happy to open that up and get back at it soon. So you never know. That's what I do. One of my most infamous readings is from that. It's never came out. it's very funny because the one everybody knows me from is from that, and it's never been released. So, but it's getting closer. So that's a little bit, but there's a rumor Gorias Lagal's returning too pretty soon. So,
very cool.
Anyhow.
Yeah, Brian Keene, cool. Of course, the author of one of my all-time favorite zombie novels, The Rising. So, yeah, that's definitely awesome.
I've partied a little bit with Brian over the years at conventions and at his house, and he's a good fella. We both have our moments. I think one of my favorite moments after we'd done several days in a row in San Francisco is we were out till about 3 or 4 in the morning each time, and he would come in at 6 and wake us up. And he just signed the new contract. This is like 2006 or something. One of the most awesome, and he loves to tell us the one. He told the story a couple times at Maurice Brodus's house, and he goes, man, I get to come in with my new contract signed. I get to see Shrews in his underwear. Tell me my life ain't working out. He goes, Shrews looks at me and goes, get the fuck away from me or I'll kill you. And that sounds awesome. But yeah, 2 hours sleep just ain't enough at a convention. But sometimes you got to do it for the cause, you know. So
it works out. I remember those days.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might bring along one of my kids as a bodyguard next time, so I can't do that. So my little boy, who was dressed as Leonidas last Halloween, says me. So I don't know where he got the idea to be in 300 and clothes. You know, it actually was his idea. He loves the show, so he's over here yelling at me. I don't know where he gets that from either. he is mini me. That's kind of a scary concept if you want to know the truth. But he's a good kid.
That's awesome. Oh man.
So anyways. Well, I'll leave you guys to your fun. I gotta go get out of here and take care of a few things here and get to bed pretty
quick.
Thanks
for calling, man.
I got to get up at 4 in the morning, so you guys have a good time. Take care of yourselves.
All right. Take care, Steve.
Have a good night.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Steve, sign me up for Imaginarium, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were hoping until, like, the last couple of weeks that Steven could make it, but he couldn't maneuver his schedule to fit it in, unfortunately. But next year, yeah, we're going to do everything we can to make sure he can get here. So, yeah, but don't worry. I mean, you get a little bit of a preview when you get to hang out with Brady and Bob and all them. You get a little preview of what's coming. but yeah, he's one of a kind.
Yes.
Where do we go after a Shrewsbury visit? That's the question.
Well, let's see. I got a question for everybody. I guess taking it back to the beginning of the show and, I guess, the fundamentals of Imaginarium. If, say, you were to have somebody walk up to you on the street and ask you, why should I go to Imaginarium? How do you respond?
Why shouldn't you go to Imaginarium?
Good answer.
That's actually what I was going to say, but I wasn't going to say it. I would say because you are going to be in for some of the most kick-ass parties ever. You're going to have tons and tons and tons of for a fan of any genre, it is a one-stop shop.
There you go.
I'm going to look at them and ask them why they wouldn't want to go to the Love Child of the best writers' conference you've ever heard of and the best convention you've ever heard of.
My answer would be...
I'd also throw in there, plus the holidays are coming up. You need to buy Christmas presents. You can find something you need there.
Yeah, my response is always like, this is a perfect environment for networking, learning, promoting, and for having fun. It has all four. So, you know, definitely in spades. So networking, learning, promoting, and having fun. That's my response.
Why do you think I said yes?
I think, you know, for new writers at least, or for especially younger new writers, I think, let's face it, I mean, we've all taken or at least been exposed to creative writing courses or workshops or things that maybe weren't in our best interest. And this is something that's very positive, you know. This is something that promotes genre fiction, that isn't going to come down on it, that's going to answer people's specific questions, that's going to help them with, from, you know, structuring their book to writing it, to, you know, shopping it, to marketing, to social media. I mean, it really is a one-stop shop. Plus, for those who just are readers and want to go and see what's up, you know, you're looking at stuff, if you've ever, like, complained about a movie or a book series, oh my gosh, it's always the same thing over and over, I can guarantee you, you're going to find something here that's different. You're going to find titles that you may not know of that are just going to blow your mind. And, you know, it's beneficial for everyone. If you like any sort of genre stuff, or just love books, or interested in writing, or just curious, come and spend some time with us, because you are going to have a blast.
And you get to hang out with a troll, too, which is going to be very exciting.
Hopefully.
The other thing I think we're going to see, and this is one thing that I can't not do this. I call them like I see them. When somebody asks a question on breaking in or anything on that order, for me, they get this straight up. I'm not going to, I believe what a phrase I've heard for it is, sunshine up their skirts. From my experience, from the experience of other writers I know, they're going to get our best, most honest answers. And that is something you don't always get at writers' workshops.
Very true. There's no, like, company line here. I mean, we're talking from personal experience, and we're all very honest people. So it's not, there's no agenda going on.
No. I've done a panel at other conventions called How Not to Get Published.
Yeah.
The top 10 mistakes that, well, I've made a couple of them, that most new writers make. And some people don't like to hear a lot, you know, hear what some of them are. But I notice they take notes. But that is something that is going to be across the board at this thing. We're going to be speaking from experience and from the heart. And we're friendly.
Okay, so there's the lull. We have one in every show. Good, it's out of the way. So in addition to, you know, the networking opportunities, the ability for new writers to learn, to get, you know, honesty, the unvarnished truth, and get a real look at the industry itself, you know, we've also got how many different publishers do we have represented, Stephen? I can't remember what number you told me.
Oh God, you would ask me that. Well, I mean, we have probably over 20 exhibiting alone. So, you know, it's quite a few though now. I mean, if you count the attending publisher representatives and then mix it in with the exhibiting ones, some of whom are both, but I know in the vendor hall we have over, I think, 20-some-odd publishers that are going to be exhibiting. So, but, yeah, it's quite a few if you count in all the representatives that are on the actual guest list.
Yeah, I know I'd asked you that a couple weeks ago, and it was just some outstanding number. I don't even remember what it was you told me when you counted them now, but it kind of blew my mind because, you know, it's the perfect opportunity for somebody who wants to learn the market to come in and get a firsthand look at it. Because it's not. That's one of the things I think is this event has the potential to wake people up with, is that writing is not easy, and publishing is not the easy market that a lot of the writers that are out there right now would have you believe. And
no.
So I'm hoping that Imaginarium, in addition to, you know, everybody having a good time and having that networking, it's going to show people the reality behind it, that we are hardworking people, that a lot of us have second and sometimes third jobs in addition to our writing and editing and publishing schedules. You know, it's a bigger monster than people seem to realize, I think.
I agree.
No, it is. I mean, yeah, we get a lot of crazy perceptions that if you just, you know, just pump out like 30 titles, you know, throw them up there in Amazon, you're suddenly going to get rich. I mean, you see a lot of really silly kind of notions floating around there. But, you know, it really is a difficult game. It's not getting easier. I mean, we've got cutting edge topics that we're going to be talking about, like Amazon's new unlimited program and things of that new model, which definitely are going to make life harder for authors in a lot of ways, because I can go on on that forever based on Spotify and Netflix and what that's done to indie filmmakers, musicians. So we've got a lot to talk about that's actually very cutting edge for the industry.
Yes,
and I'm definitely going to refrain from the rant here because you know there is one, and I know you've heard it 100 times, but I think this is an opportunity for us to really, really express to people that you want quality writing over quantity of books. Then I will leave it at that.
It's going to be an interesting discussion. So, Stephen, somebody give us the dates and the location.
Okay, I guess I'll tackle that one. It is September the 19th, which is a Friday, running through September 21st, which is a Sunday, and it will be a full Sunday ending with the awards banquet, where you know, we're going to have a good final round out of the convention. Location is great. Crown Plaza Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky. And we started, we didn't greenlight this convention until we found the ideal spot. And by ideal, this is our A choice. Why? Because you can throw a rock from Crown Plaza and hit the airport property. It's literally right next to the airport. It's also right off I-65. It's an easy, just right off the ramp sort of location on I-65. And it's not downtown, so you don't have to worry about downtown driving, which sometimes is tricky if you're going to conventions in big cities. I can name a few myself that are tough to navigate. But this one is easy. And they have free parking, and they have good Wi-Fi, and all those little amenities that makes writers' lives so much easier. So it's right outside of, like, the big fairgrounds in Louisville, so there's a lot of restaurants and things like that around it. And the facilities are just phenomenal. I mean, it's not just handicap accessible, it's handicap friendly. So if you have some challenges in that regard, it's very, very accessible and friendly venue. The facilities are first rate. I mean, I can't say enough about how excited I am to show everybody this venue. It is the venue where Wonderfest, which is probably the country's top toy and modeling convention, is held. And so we got plenty of room in this site to grow in years to come. So we want to stay here for a long time to come.
And how do people get their memberships, tickets, whatever we're calling them?
What was the question again, Lee? Sorry.
How do they go about buying their tickets, getting their memberships, whatever we're calling this?
Okay, enterTheImaginarium.com. EnterTheImaginarium.com, and that's IMAGINARIUM, Imaginarium. Go to that site and look under registration. It's only $55 for the entire weekend. And that accesses you to over 140 panels and workshops and all kinds of fun. So, I mean, it's dirt cheap for the value. So, yeah, look on there, and that'll take care of you as far as the registration goes.
And that was perfect timing because we are actually out of time now. So, that having been said, we can also be found on Facebook at facebook.com/ImaginariumConvention and on Twitter at ImaginariumCon. Yeah, that's about it. It's been fun. So, I guess somebody else will get to do the... Do I know?
Good night, everybody.
Nighttime. It's awesome. It's been fun. Thanks, Lee, for calling in. It was wonderful having you. And thank you, everybody else, for playing along tonight.
My pleasure. See you in September.
See you in September.
Good night. Good night.